Open in your Bibles with me this morning to the book of 1 Chronicles and chapter 29, but we're actually going to pick up three verses out of chapter 28, which will be across your page, and then we'll go to chapter 29. 1 Chronicles in your Old Testament and chapter 29. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles. I hope you memorized that.
It's pretty good.
When I was 7 years old in a children's club that they called Jet Cadets, we were challenged to memorize the books of the Bible in order. 1 Chronicles. And I'll begin reading in chapter 28 and verse 2 and 3, then verse 6, and then we'll go to chapter 29. Then David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and for the footstool of our God, and made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war, and hast shed blood." Verse 6. And he said unto me, "Solomon thy son shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father." And then chapter 29, verse 1. "Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for the things to be made of gold, and silver for the things of silver, and brass for the things of brass, the iron for the things of iron, and wood for the things of wood, onyx stones for the stones to be set, glittering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, I have set my affection to the house of my God. I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that which I have prepared for the holy house, even 3,000 talents of gold. Of gold of Ophir and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the house with all. For the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel, and the captains of thousands and of hundreds, which with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasury of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jethiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, "Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord. Thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own hand have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on earth are as a shadow, and there is nothing or none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand and is all thine own. I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast not pleasure in unrighteousness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here, to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the hearts of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Let us bow for prayer. Father, this morning as we approach your word, may you direct and guide us in thy truth. May we be thoroughly biblical and contextual in our examination of this passage. Father, may we be instructed and taught. May we gain new insight into the ministry and work of God. And Father, may Christ be glorified in all. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the responsibilities of ministry is to preach the whole counsel of God. I do not like to preach on giving. It is not a comfortable subject to preach on. But I trust that our examination of the topic of giving this morning will be completely different than what you would expect. Let me mention a few things to you by way of introduction. First of all, as a congregation, we have our thank offering or our Thanksgiving offering every November. It is concluded. Last Sunday was the end of that offering. Typically, in most church circles today, a message on giving would be the first message of that section. Brother Vince and I determined at the very outset that this congregation would never beg for money. That we would not engage in that type of activity. It's very common in the world today. And I say this not to be critical of anyone, but I believe that in the congregations where there's a constant begging of money, they are begging money from goats and not from sheep. Amen. Because God's people give without being told to give.
That's right.
And so we do not pass a plate in our congregation. In the 3 years and 2 months of our history, we have never passed a plate.
Right.
And so as we consider giving this morning, we already know as the people of God that everything we own belongs to God.
Yeah.
And so our message about giving this morning is not, you need to give, you need to give, you need to give. But rather, let us consider why it is that we give in the first place. What is giving about? And we're going to go through this chapter, the 29th chapter of 1 Chronicles, which was the gathering of the materials, the gold, the silver, the brass, the wood, the iron, the precious stones, the marble, the onyx stones, etc. The gathering of the materials to build the temple. And as we go through the points, we're going to see that every one of them is directly related to worship. It was all about God and not about the gift. It was all about God and his worthiness of our honor. And so the first thing we're going to see about giving from this account of the gathering for the tabernacle, for the temple, is that our giving is an acknowledgement of the greatness of the God to whom we give. Look at verse 1. Furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom God alone hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great. For the palace is not for man, but for the Lord. Three things there. First of all, the work is great. It is a great work that we are about. We're about the master's business. This is a great work. You may see some advertisement on TV asking you to give for needy children, and that's a good work. You may see on TV a appeal to give on behalf of veterans, and that's a good work. It's something that is worthy of your gift. But folks, this is the great work.
Yeah.
This is the work of the Lord. And as Christians, it is incumbent upon us to view and to provide for the needs of our fellow man as God gives us ability. And yet the great work is the work of the Lord. So first of all, he says the work is great. But then David says, the palace is not for man. And that word palace is glorious. Because this word palace is the word temple. And yet this particular Hebrew word that's translated palace is never translated temple. It's always palace. David wasn't just building some edifice. He was building a place of rest for the ark. He was building a palace for the King of Heaven. And here he causes the people to notice the greatness. If you look down in verse 19 of the chapter, again, he calls it a palace that is being built for the king. This word palace is the same word that's used throughout the book of Esther when it talks about the palace in Shushan. There's another word that is translated temple, but it's also the word palace. It's not the same word, but another related word, and that is the one we find in Habakkuk chapter 20 and chapter 2 and verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. And that word there in Habakkuk is also the word palace. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is in his holy palace. And so, the work is great. David says to the people, we're building a palace for the Most High God. And it's not for man. It's not for man. But it is for the Lord God. And you'll notice there in your King James that Lord is all capitalized. It is for Jehovah. What are we about, folks? Well, we're not looking to build a big edifice on earth, but we are working on behalf of the heavenly kingdom. And the palace is not for man, it is for God. It is the dwelling place of Jehovah God. And so the first thing that we notice about our giving is our giving should be mindful of the greatness of the God to whom we give, for whose work we give. If you are giving to a needy cause here on earth, that is well. But our giving to Jehovah is so much greater. The work is the Lord's. The second thing we should be notice of is that the giving that is demonstrated for us here in 1 Chronicles 29 was a giving that was to the best of their ability. Look at verse 2. Now have I prepared with all my might for the house of my God. I prepared with all my might for the house of my God. Gold for the things to be made of gold, silver, brass, etc. David was giving his best. He was giving with all his might. It was not a matter of, well, you know what? Here's some cast-off clothing that we can send to someone. Well, we've got some used furniture the church may need. That'll get you in trouble, won't it? I don't need this anymore. Maybe the church can use it. But rather, we're giving to the King of Heaven. And so our giving should be with all our might. And that's not a matter of how much we give, but rather of the heart by which it's given. When David says he's giving with all his might for the house, it doesn't say anything about amounts. Later on, it lists the amounts that were given. But in the context of this verse, it's not talking about the amount. Remember the widow's mite? She cast in more than the wealthy who gave a pittance. And so it should be done with all our might. Ecclesiastes 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. And Colossians 3 carries that same idea. And whatsoever that ye do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Knowing unto the Lord ye shall receive reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. And so we are to honor the Lord with our substance. And you notice there's nothing said about in these verses about return. The popular presentation of our giving service is that, boy, you cannot give God. Well, it's true. The Bible teaches that. But that's not why we give. David is not giving here like he's investing in the stock market. But rather, David is giving to the best of his ability. And that brings us to our third point. Our giving should be motivated by love. We give because we love him. Look at verse 3. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and of silver, which I have given to the house of my God, over and above that I have prepared for the holy house. David says, I'm doing this because I've set my affection on the house of God. I love it. Well, that's totally opposite of the world's opinion. The world's opinion is we love what we have. There was a bumper sticker years ago that says, he that dies with the most toys wins. What a ridiculous, mindless, stupid, pardon me, philosophy to live with. Mm-hmm. He who dies with the most toys has nothing. Right. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We do not give to the work of the Lord out of any sense of personal gain or return, nor do we give out of a sense of obligation. But David says, because I've set my heart on the house of the Lord, that is why I'm giving of these things. I'd like you to turn with me over to the New Testament, to the book of Luke in chapter 7, and some of you will recognize right away the passage to which we're going. Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to read verses 37 through 47. It's a little bit longer passage, but I trust that we can keep our hearts and minds in the passage as I read through it. Our giving should be motivated by love. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 37. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him. Notice where she's positioned. She's not even kneeling before him. She is seated behind him. Notice her attitude. And weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. I thank God that I'm not as other men. You hear the voice of the Pharisee. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Isn't it interesting he calls him Master? His thought immediately before was, this man's not a teacher. This man's not a prophet. But now he calls him Master. This people draw near to me with their mouth, but their heart is removed far from me. Simon had no love for Christ. He has Jesus in his house only to be seen of men. Verse 41, Jesus says, There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he, that's Jesus, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time that I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same forgiveth little, or the same loveth little. David gave to the house of the Lord because he had set his heart upon it. Those that are forgiven much love much. And so I said in our introduction that often when you hear these appeals, you've got to send money, you've got to send it in, or we can't pay the electric bill. Send in money, or this is going to fall apart, folks. This ministry depends on your money. I fear that they are often appealing to the goats and not to the sheep. Because those that are forgiven love much. And this woman of the city who was forgiven much and loved much had brought a very expensive alabaster box of ointment and had anointed the feet of Jesus. You see, it's not about the gift. It's about the heart of the giver. And when God's people love their Lord, God's work won't have to beg for money. Because God's people will simply give to the Lord out of a heart of abiding love. And so thirdly, our giving should be motivated by love. We've seen so far that our giving is mindful of the greatness of our God. Our giving should be the best of our ability. Our giving should be motivated by love. But then we find, fourthly, that our giving is not limited to our monetary resources. Look with me at verse 5. For the gold for the things of gold, and the silver for the things of silver, and all manner of work, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? You know, there are folks there in Israel that were just everyday common men. They didn't have a bag of gold sticking somewhere. They didn't have a store of silver that they could bring out and give. But they had skills and talents. And so David says, we have the gold, we have the silver, the iron, the wood, the stones. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the work of the Lord? And look back to chapter 28 and the 21st verse. Chapter 28 and the 21st verse. And behold, the course of the priests and of the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man. For any manner of service, also the princes. There shall be with thee for the work, every willing, skillful man. You see, if our giving is not about the monetary, but about the heart, it's not particularly critical that you have something to give in terms of monetary, but we all are servants of God. Mm-hmm. And so here are those that they weren't wealthy people, they were just common carvers. But oh, how they could take a block of wood and carve out of it something glorious, a piece for the top of the door, some glorious thing. There were those that could work with the stones, and they could take the raw stone and cut it into a beautiful diamond. There were those that could take this gold and form it into the furnishings. There were those that could take the silver and overlay the walls. You see, if God has given you a talent in music, that is an offering to the Lord. Amen. If God has given you a talent in bookkeeping, if God has given you a talent on the computers, if God has given you a talent in any area, that is part of our gift for the Lord. And so when we're talking about giving, we're not just talking about the monetary. As Brother Vince often says, God's not broke. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He does not depend on our dollars. But oh, how he desires that we be servants of the Most High God. But folks, you know the most important way that we serve God? With the mouth. With the gospel. With the proclaiming that Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save. Well, I'm not eloquent. That's why we got tracts, brother. We can all use that talent for God. And so, our giving is not simply a matter of our finances. The Lord is more interested in your will than your wealth. In the Civil War, a rich man could buy his way out of the draft because he didn't love the cause and he wasn't ready for the battle. As the children of God, if we're truly believers, we love the cause and we should be ready for the battle. The fifth thing we find that our giving should be a joyful, willing offering. Look at verse 9 of 1 Chronicles 29. Our giving should be a willing, joyful offering. Then the people rejoiced, for they offered willingly. The people rejoiced in giving. They weren't thinking, oh no, we'd rather take a big vacation, but boy, we got this money saved up, and we'd really like to go to Disney World.
But we probably ought to give it to... No. No, rather, the child of God is joyous and delights in the giving. Look at verse 5, the last part of the verse. And then, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds and the rulers of the people offered willingly. They offered willingly. When they were building the tabernacle in Exodus 25 and verses 1 and 2, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring unto me an offering. Every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take of my offering. And again in Exodus 35:5, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring an offering to the Lord. It's a willing offering. You know what? A willing offering doesn't have to be begged for.
Right.
Doesn't have to be pleaded for. God's people simply give and provide for the work of the Lord. And so our giving should be a joyful and a willing offering. Number 6, our giving must be done in humility. And this one really struck me here. Our giving is done in humility. Look at down to verse 10 of 1 Chronicles 29. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and that is in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I? And what is this people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? David was the king, folks. There was no one greater in the land than David. And yet when David gave his offering before the Lord, he said, who am I? Who's this people that God should even accept our gift? When someone gives a gift and the recipient of the gift shuns it, it is one of the greatest insults and greatest affronts there could ever be, that the gift is not accepted. I think most of us at some time or another have seen a child receive a gift and the child kind of shuns it. And the giver of the gift, as we used to say in Jamaica, feels away. They're smitten in their heart. God shouldn't take my gift. I'm a sinner. David was the king. David was a man after God's own heart. But David's attitude in this giving was, who am I? And who is this people that God should even accept my gift? Remember the Pharisee in the market? I tithe of all my all I possess. I give to the poor. Look what I'm doing. Ananias and Sapphira gave their offering so everyone would see it. But oh, may God give us humility. Lord, I am not worthy to bring a gift to thee. But oh, Lord, because I love thy house and I love thy work and because you have forgiven me much, I bring my offering. And so our offering should be given in great humility. Our offering must be given in repentant uprightness. And I've hyphenated that in my notes. Our offering must be given in repentant uprightness. uprightness. Look at verse 17 and following of our chapter. In verse 17, David says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the hearts and hast not pleasure in and hast pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of mine heart, I have willingly offered all these things, and now have I seen with joy thy people which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel our fathers, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people, and prepare their hearts unto thee. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimonies, and thy statutes, and to do all these things, and to build the palace for which I have made provision. Do you notice the emphasis there on uprightness? Folks, we're not buying repentance. Nor are we buying favor with God. We are not purchasing indulgences for sin. There are a lot of people that will give a lot of money to try to cover their sins. But our offering must be given in uprightness. And I would say, as the people of God, if there is sin in your life, don't give anything. Don't bring Cain's offering to the Lord. Because if there is sin in your heart and sin in your life, and you are bringing an offering for the Lord, all you're bringing is the work of your own hands, because your sin is not under the blood. But rather, just as we pause for a time of self-examination and repentance before we partake of the Lord's table, so we should do the same thing every time we put something in the offering. Because it is an act of worship, and our giving should be done in righteousness, in purity, and in uprightness before God. And so the offering should be done in repentant uprightness. Number 8, let's move along. Our giving should acknowledge that everything comes from the Lord and belongs to Him already. Look at verses 13 through 17 again. Verse 13 of our chapter. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I and what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. In a lot of Reformed churches where they do pass a collection plate, there is what is referred to as the offering response. And it is a hymn that is simply these words, all things come of thee, O Lord, and of thine own have we given thee. Any of you ever sung that? Okay, I don't see any hands. One of the churches that I pastored would sing that frequently. All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Folks, where did you get that shiny new car? Where did your house come from? Oh, I worked very hard for that. Okay, where'd you get the job? Well, I went to college and I learned a lot of stuff. Well, where'd you get the brains? What do you have that did not come from God? All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. You see, you can't give anything to God. It's like the little child that wants to buy mommy a Christmas gift, and so he says, Mommy, can I have some money to buy you a Christmas gift? So where did it come from? Our giving should acknowledge that everything comes from God and it belongs to Him in the first place. And so it's no wonder that David continues in verse 14, "Who am I that I should give so willingly?" Verse 16, "O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine own hand and is all thine own." It comes from God. And so our giving should acknowledge that everything comes from thee. And I've mentioned already that our giving is an act of worship, and that's where we'll conclude this morning. It's all related to the worship of God. I've read it a couple times in your hearing already this morning, but look with me again at verse 10 and following. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee. Thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might. And in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." It's all about worship. We're heading into what is called the Christmas season. And, you know, every year I balm on Christmas. Christmas is not when Jesus was born. He wasn't born in December. And, frankly, Christmas is a popish practice. We observe Christmas. We don't celebrate it. We observe it because we love Christ and we observe His birth at this time, but He wasn't born in December. The wise men did not show up at the stable of Bethlehem. They came to a house probably 2 years later. And so when you see wise men in the manger, you know right away, this isn't right. But I'd like to point our attention to the wise men as we consider this final thing, that all of our giving is related to worship. For in Matthew chapter 2 and verse 11, we find these words, "And when they," that is the wise men, "and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child," not the babe in the manger, "they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him." And how was it that they worshipped him? Well, they prostrated themselves before him, and they worshipped him by presenting unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And so our giving is part of our worship. It is a part of worship. It is the ultimate throwing of ourselves before him. "Lord, it all is thine. Thank you for what you have given me to use. Lord, I love thee, and so I will give unto thee an offering with all my might. Lord, I come before you with my offering, but as I give my offering, O Lord, I plead that I might do it in purity, in repentant uprightness, not in the sin that so cleaves to my being. O Lord, I give to thee." And so may God give us a godly perspective of worship, not out of begging and pleading, not out of necessity, but rather may we give to the Lord because we love Him and because it all belongs to Him in the first place. Let us stand for prayer. Father, this morning we do thank you that indeed all things do come of thee. We thank you, Father, that you do supply our need. Lord, we thank you as we read in the Psalms, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet have I never seen the righteous or his seed begging bread." Lord, you don't need our finances. Lord, you can do without us and do just well. But Father, we thank you that you do indeed receive our humble, repentant gift given to thee out of a deep love. Father, bless us this day in your truth. Make us more like Christ. In Jesus' name.